Okay, we got one going now. And then the second one. All right, here we are now in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and I've entitled it, this is our 17th message, the final message of the book of Daniel, End Time Promises. And you can see a number of things that I have outlined here for us to go over. So, you know, if you go back to chapter 11, just for a moment in your mind here, in the preceding chapter, we learned from the angel who spoke to Daniel about a coming great tribulation period, actually the tribulation period, with it being broken in half by the last half, 3.5 years, was called the Great Tribulation. And in addition, World War, the Battle of Armageddon that will occur at the end of that tribulation period there. All these things were presented to Daniel in what is called the 70th week of Daniel. That last week of years, 7 years, that will occur sometime in our future. How far in the future, we don't know. Maybe it'll be in our lifetime. We don't know. Things seem to be, of course, moving in that direction rather rapidly in many fronts. So therefore, it could. But at the same time, God has shown us in the past that He's a God of gracious waiting, and more people can be saved if He waits a little bit longer. But God's patience, we're told in the Bible, also has an ending point as well. But the time has come to close the wonderful book from heaven. That's where it comes, given to Daniel for us today. And we're going to hear the prophetic angel give Daniel some more promises in prophecies that are given, particularly for Daniel to realize that in the end, for his people, all things will end well. And that's nice to know for Daniel, although he realized that they were going to go through much trial and tribulation along the way here. But I'd like to take the time and actually read the scripture. So I'm going to put it on the screen. I haven't been doing that, but I will today as we end this. And you can follow along in your Bible. I hope you brought your Bible. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. I'll be reading from the New International Version, 2011. That's the latest version of it. So here we go, and then we'll have a moment of prayer. At that time, Daniel writes, the great prince who protects your people will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, Daniel, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. But those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Now many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. Now, one of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Verse 7. The man clothed in linen was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and a half time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. Verse 8. I heard, but I didn't understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? And he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed unto the time of the end. Now many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. So blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. Now the last verse, as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. What a passage. Let's pray. Father God, we do pray and ask that we would have understanding of all that's been said here. We realize you said the book is to be sealed up, and at the same time, many will try to understand and will have no understanding, particularly the unsaved. But it also goes for the saved as well, as we're going to see today. Now, I pray that all who are listening under the sound of your word by my speaking, perhaps they're right here in the assembly or through recordings or the internet, whatever means it will be moved along. I pray that all who listen before this book ends will have their minds and hearts open to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for those of us who know Christ as our Savior, that we'll have a fresh new commitment like Daniel to go our way to the end and be faithful in the things that we've been called to do and wait for the glory of heaven. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go, the first verse, and we have to go slowly through the beginning verses because there's a lot there. Take a look. At that time, Michael the great prince who protects your people will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Now, as I said before, last week we read of Daniel's chapter 11, verses 36 to 45, that Israel would be in the far future, they would enter into what was called a time of tribulation. There are various names given to it in the Old Testament. Jacob's trouble was another name for it. And it would be a time period when God would permit Satan and evil and wicked people to gain control of the world. And we almost see that happening right now, but it hasn't totally happened. And the reason it hasn't happened is because you and I are still here. And we're not the only ones. There are Christians all over the world who are still here. And God, through his people, is maintaining the world so evil will not erupt and take over. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But the time is coming when the rapture of the church occurs, and God is going to allow evil then to take over. Now, God said to Daniel, he would not leave his ancient people helpless. What would he do? He would send an angel named Michael, who we discover in Scripture was a special protector angel of the Jewish people to protect them from annihilation. And Revelation says that he will arise. See that in the first verse of Daniel 12 there? He will arise at that time. Meaning right now, he is, of course, busy. We had seen in other chapters fighting the fallen angels or demons all through the universe, and wherever they are residing, there's battle. There's war in heaven. But there's coming a great war in the heavenlies, as we're going to see. And at that time, Daniel was told that this angel Michael will arise specifically to protect the remnant of Jewish people, that they would not be annihilated. Now, what about this war in heaven? There's some confusion about it. Let's take a look at it in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Notice what it says here. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, that is the devil, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Where was he hurled? He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Now, this is not a description of when Satan fell from the place of God's abode in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, all right? This is referring to a time that has not yet occurred. It seems that God's still allowing evil and evil sources to do their thing on a limited basis, but nonetheless. But the time came, as the tribulation occurred, when God said, enough is enough. Now, God doesn't live in the heavens described here. The Greek word here is ouranos, and it's a reference to what we call an overarching expanse. That's the heavenlies. Probably would have been better to say, then war broke out in the heavenlies. This is space where the moon and the stars and the sun reside. All through the universe, evil and demons reside, particularly in even the atmosphere of the earth. But they were all thrown out of the presence of God. They cannot go there. But God meets them and deals with them in the heavenlies, the universe. But now God took his angels and he pushed them out of the universe. And now they are quartered in the earth and its atmosphere. So they are really struggling because there's no other place for them to go. So Daniel is told of this war and, of course, the victory in heaven, which will precipitate a great tribulation in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, prophetically, think about this. Here's the 7 years of the tribulation. Here's one half. All right. This is referred to the last half as time, times and a half, which comes to 3.5 years. We've reached a point now where the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation is going to break his covenant with Israel. He made a covenant with them to protect them from all the peoples of the world, particularly the Islamic peoples who for centuries have done everything they can to annihilate them from the face of the earth. And the Jews would be allowed to build their temple, and they will, on the mount, which right now would cause great confusion. But the Antichrist permitted it. And as a result of this, he's going to seize that temple, and he is going to rip out all the accoutrements of Jewish worship, and in there he's going to set up an image of himself. And this image is going to be considered their God, and they will have to bow and worship to him. And Daniel's angel calls it the abomination of desolation. That's in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, and in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And even far back into Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, three times that's mentioned, the abomination of desolation, which is a reference to the Antichrist's image. Even Jesus spoke about this. For instance, take a look in Matthew 24, 15. So when you see standing in the holy place this image, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through who? The prophet Daniel. You know, the Jews today do not consider Daniel a prophet. But nonetheless, let the reader understand. Again, Mark 13, 14 references this. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. That is the people in the tribulation period. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, meaning go out to the desert area. You know, even before Daniel received this message from the angel, do you know 100 to 150 years before that, Jeremiah wrote of it in his book? Jeremiah 30, verse 7, how awful that day will be. No other will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. Again, God continually warned and promised the Jews that he would keep them for that very thing now. So indeed, Satan will vent his final and extreme wrath against the nation of Israel because he hates anything that God loves. Right now he has the church, so he hates Israel, but he hates the church more, and that's why we suffer all the types of persecution around the world. Now, we don't suffer so much here in the United States, although in part we do with the turmoil we have in many churches. But around the world, there's greater persecution for a Christian. Do you know more people in the 20th century were martyred for their faith than all the 19 centuries before that? A lot of people aren't aware of that. And that rate of persecution and death now in the 21st century is actually equal to that amount and growing more. So the persecution against the church is even worse than it had been in the past. So this phrase the angel used to describe people who will be there, I went ahead in the slide, we'll get to there in a second. This phrase is a reference to the Jewish people. They can have hope, even in a time of extreme peril and distress, that God will specifically preserve the remnant in this time of Jacob's trouble, this time of great tribulation. And they are going to be the ones whose names are written in the book. Isn't that wonderful? Take a look at the last part of verse 1. Whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Nevertheless, all these people. Now, this isn't an automatic promise to be saved. God isn't going to save anyone. He doesn't do it in this age, and he won't do it in the tribulation for the Jews. No one is saved by being a member of a Christian family Or having a grandfather who was a missionary. You know, as a pastor, I've heard all the stories of why people are Christian. Oh, my grandfather was a missionary. Oh, that automatically puts you in heaven. Or my mom and dad were good Christians. Oh, that automatically puts you in heaven, you know. You can be a Cadillac or you could be a Volkswagen, but you could put the Volkswagen in the garage, but it doesn't make a Cadillac, all right? And it's the same thing. You will not be a Christian until you surrender your will and who you are to the great God who created you, Jesus Christ. And by believing that He alone can save you in eternity from the sin penalty that you will pay. And when you realize that and you commit to believe in Jesus, that's what it means to believe in Jesus, is to say, all right, right now, I'm going to make you king of my life. Now, I want you to know, Ursula will verify this, he isn't totally king of my life yet. There's still the old nature that comes out every once in a while. Isn't that true, dear? Well, you could be a little nicer about that. But anyway, so all of us still have that. But God is working on it, and I'm better than I was. And I hope you're better than you were, too. But one day, when I reach glory, either through death or rapture, I will be perfect like God, His Son Himself. And that's what we all look forward to. But the Jews will indeed be saved and delivered, those whose names are written in the book. Now, it's important. We move to B here. But before we do that, I want to go over this scripture. It's important here. Revelation 12:12-14. Take a look. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. That's right, his judgment, his final judgment is coming. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman is a reference to the nation of Israel. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. Good thing this isn't a Malaysian Airlines aircraft. But nonetheless, it will make it into the wilderness. I don't even think it's an aircraft at all. I think this is a supernatural act where God is going to transport all whose name is written in the book of life and transport them into the desert in a place God has hidden them to be. And this is going to be something where nobody on earth can find them. No electronic equipment God sent out. No planes overhead trying to discover where the Jews are. The Antichrist will not find them because they will be shielded. So to the world, I guess they will be made invisible, totally invisible. But their God is prepared to keep them for the 3.5 years to preserve them so that they can go into the millennium. Now, does it mean all those Jews that were moved out of Jerusalem, or even around the world for that matter, all the Jews who went into the desert were saved at that point? I don't think so. I think the 144,000 were among them. I think other Jews that were saved by the ministry of the 144,000 are there too. But there are those who are yet to believe in Jesus. But they were ordained before the world began. And their name was written in the book. Just like, you know, before you were saved and before I was saved, guess what? Your name was written in God's book thousands of years ago. But it didn't come to pass yet. Now, when is it going to come to pass for those Jews who are yet saved, who were transported into the desert? When at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ in the second coming appears and they see the nail prints in his hands and they look up and see that this one Jesus was and is their Messiah, then they will in an instant believe and be saved. And, you know, Paul talks about that in Romans 11. He says, all Israel shall be saved. That doesn't mean every single Jew in existence. But it means an overwhelming amount of Jews who have never been saved and are not yet saved will immediately believe in Jesus there. And so it's important for that. You know, Jesus predicted this for in Matthew 24, verses 21 to 22. For then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world to now and never be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, Jesus said no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect of those days, that's the saved Jew and the Gentile who's saved, those days will be shortened. So indeed, it's important. And never lose sight who the angel's talking about. Your people. Daniel, I'm talking about the Jews, the angel said. I'm not talking about the Gentiles. When the Gentiles are mentioned in anything that pertains to them, they're only mentioned because they're wrapped around you, my people. And so this is to the Jew. Now, it's important to think about that. What is this book of life? Now, I want you to know it's not the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life is all those who are part of the church of Jesus Christ. But the book of life is all those who will be saved and be a part of the kingdom of heaven outside of the church. And so it's important to see that very thing. And the Jews whose names are in there will experience rescue. Now, with that in mind, what does he go on to say? Look at verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. You know, amazingly, Jesus repeated these very words the angel spoke in Matthew 25:46 and in John 5:28-29. Now remember, the time period is when? At the end of the tribulation, when the 7 years are over. This reference is specifically to all the faithful righteous of the tribulation period who died upon upholding their faith in Messiah. They were martyred. And God is going to raise them to life, the tribulation saints. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life. Now, this is also to Daniel. Daniel's going to die very shortly, and he's going to sleep, or his body's going to sleep in the earth. He's going to go down to Hades, that part of Hades that is for the righteous dead, and be in what is called Abraham's bosom. And there he will wait until the Messiah comes to pay for their sins, and they can be freed and go on to heaven. They will be resurrected with all the Old Testament saints, all the tribulation saints. Now, it's important to think about that here because we have a problem and a great question arises. Wait a minute. Are we going to be resurrected then? No, we're going to be resurrected before the tribulation period at the rapture of the church. And we believe that will be just preceding before the Antichrist signs that covenant with Israel. So we're not a part of this rapture. Resurrection. This is going to be the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. And take a look. You know, very often in prophecy, things are put together and they're not separated. And there's a reason why, because God doesn't want to reveal everything about the future. He wants us in the future to look back and know what he was talking about. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth, that's a reference to the bodies of the dead. Some to everlasting life will be raised. That's all the believers here, speaking of Old Testament tribulation saints. But others to shame and everlasting contempt. You could put a couple of dots after everlasting life because this phrase you see in red on your screen is for another time period. God is not going to resurrect the unsaved dead at this point. That's coming at another point. Now, I know that the amillennialist and others, probably the majority of Christians today, sounds funny, they believe that God one day in the future is just going to stop the world. The clock is going to stop and he's going to raise everybody at the judgment day. You've probably heard that, you know, the judgment day and everything's going to happen at that point. You know, even the Old Testament saints believed that. Poor Martha, when Lazarus died and Jesus asked her about this death, you know what Martha said in John 11:24? She said, I know he will arise in the resurrection at the last day. What are the last days? You know, it's important to understand this very thing. So let's take a look at it and see what we can come for this. Because the Bible tells us there's really only two resurrections. The resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the unrighteous. Everybody is going to be raised to life with their bodies. We'll talk about that. Now, those who died of Old Testament faith, that would be Daniel, and of course the Jewish nation, which included Daniel, they will rise to eternal life. There's no question of that. Following the tribulation period and before the millennial reign of Christ. Why? Because God is going to allow Daniel to go into the millennium with the saved individuals who physically and bodily go in there as well. But Daniel is going to go in a glorified, resurrected body. He is going to be part of those in rulership and leadership of the Jewish nation in the millennial age here. and all the rest of mankind that was unsaved and died during Old Testament and even New Testament periods now, they will wait for what is called the second resurrection. Only two. There's first the saved, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. They will be raised not with glorified bodies. They will be raised in their ruined bodies that they left this life. Imagine that. How many of you want to be raised in the body you're leaving this earth with? It doesn't sound good to me. But nonetheless, Isaiah 26:19 speaks of that. Hosea 13:14. And it seems clear that it's talking of a physical resurrection because it says, those who sleep in what? The dust of the earth. That means the ground. Our bodies are in the ground. I know that a certain group of believers today and supposed believers believe that their souls sleep. And we sleep in the ground and the earth. No such thing the Bible teaches here. But look at verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So this brings us to the third point, a shining, a saintly reward. The angel is telling Daniel, look, Daniel, there are going to be graded rewards. Other scripture speaks of this too. Graded rewards for those saints who are faithful to the Lord. We're told in the New Testament in a similar way, you and I, you will be rewarded for everything you do for Jesus Christ. Even if you give a little cup of cold water in his name, you will be rewarded. So no saint who's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ when the rapture occurs is not going to receive a reward. But others will receive tremendous rewards. And the rewards will have something to do with how they are seen. They will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness that are evangelistic, like the stars forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful here? So we'll share in the glory of Christ, and especially if we're faithful in the work of evangelism. But particularly in our text, this speaks not to the church. This is speaking to the Old Testament saints like Daniel. And there's a special application to Israel itself. Now, some will be martyred in death, and they have always been. We've talked about what happened all the way through the years before the New Testament came in, how many Jews were killed and martyred, but they too will be raised to life in spiritually glorifying bodies. Now, even more for the church age, our Lord emphasizes again and again for you and me here that if you will be faithful to me, you will be rewarded 100 times over for whatever you're going to do. So the immediate context refers to the Old Testament saints and, of course, to the New Testament saints. Now the question is there just one judgment day where God raises the bodies of the righteous to glory, or he raises the bodies of the unsaved dead from Hades in their ruined bodies? No, that's going to be a different time. Here's a little bit that will help. Resurrection in the Bible. All right, you ready? Number one, there are only two resurrections. First the saved, and the second, the loss. All right? Number two, the first resurrection, the saved, refers to a single event with three phases. Jesus spoke about this. He said that he would be the first fruits. Jesus rose from the dead. We'll celebrate that next Sunday here. And that, of course, was in 33 AD. Jesus was the first. Now, some say, well, wait a minute. There were bodies that came out of the ground and were raised to life with Jesus. Isn't that resurrection? No, that they weren't raised with a glorified body. They came back with whatever bodies they had for a moment of time and lived on for a little while and died again. That was a unique, separate thing. That was not resurrection that we're talking about. Resurrection for the saints is in a glorified body, a brand new body, okay? First fruits was Jesus Christ. He had the glorified new body. Next will be what is the main harvest, because Jesus always spoke of the agricultural picture of a harvest, all right? The main harvest is going to be you and me, the church age saints at the rapture. And then comes the final harvest, the end of it there, and that's going to be the Old Testament and tribulation saints of which we've been speaking here, the angels talking about at the end of the tribulation before the millennial period. The Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints who were martyred. But then will come 1,000 years later at the end of the millennium, the second resurrection of the lost, And this will be a single event with no phases but one, and it will be at the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. So here's a little map. I don't know if you can see it, but the first resurrection, Jesus himself, the first phase of resurrection, the rapture, and the second phase, and or the third point there, C, of all saved believers, Old Testament and New, after the tribulation ends. All right? Now let's get back to Daniel chapter 4, and the fourth point is the sealing. The sealing. But you, Daniel, roll up the seal, roll up and seal the words of the scroll. We'll just do the first part here. Daniel is told to make sure that he carefully writes down all that's in the scroll, and I'm thankful he did that. And when the vision ended, he was to seal the scroll for the future righteous Jews to read and understand. In other words, in a sense, he wasn't really supposed to give this scroll to the people of his day. They wouldn't have any understanding of it, and it really wasn't for them. It was to be sealed up and remain for the Jewish people of the future. Now, of course, it was opened up early in the New Testament, and at that particular time, we saw the beauty of what it has for us. So the seal, or conceal these words, does not mean that Daniel would forever keep it sealed. It was just to say, just make sure that you seal the scroll, and it's not something at the moment. Now, it was customary for scribes to do this whenever they finished writing a book. They would roll it up, and they would put their seal on there to give authenticity. So Daniel authenticated that he had written this, and God had revealed it to him. Now, the second part, many will go here and there to increase in knowledge. Now, this last part of the verse probably refers to, shall we say, premature events of God's people or attempts to completely understand this revelation. Now, I have to say to you, when we get into the fullness of it here, and we will shortly, we cannot know everything that the angel speaks of. We cannot in any way, shape, or form be dogmatic about certain things, and I'll show you why. Because you're not in the tribulation, and I'm not there, and it won't have meaning to you unless you go through it. How many here want to go through the tribulation? Okay, so we will just leave it at that, as we're going to see here. But Amos 8:12 says, men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. What will they not find? Answers. Increased knowledge. All right, verses 5 and 6. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, angels that is, one on this bank of the river, Tigris, and one on the opposite bank. And one of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. So there are three beings, supernatural beings, one on each side of the river and one standing above. We've already discussed the one standing above was probably, we won't be dogmatic, was probably the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ himself. All right? Now, the angel inquires of the Lord, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Everything that the angel revealed to Daniel. And the answer makes it clear. It's a reference to the time of Israel under the Antichrist's rule. So the key to God's timing is the purpose he fulfills for the holy people. What is the purpose to be fulfilled? It was a time of God's wrath that would come upon the nations of the world and the Antichrist, but also was a time of discipline for the nation of Israel. Israel had rejected their Messiah. And we know down through the centuries, she still, as a nation, rejects anything to do with Jesus Christ. She will not look at anything in the Old Testament that points to Jesus Christ. I mean, we have conclusive proof that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was the Messiah that was promised of old. But they will not believe because they are blinded. That's what Paul says. But that blindness is so tough, and that skin is so hard, only God can break through. And unfortunately, because we know it in our own lives, when we get tough and angry and disobedient to God, God sometimes has to bring some very hard disciplines in our life. It could be take away our health. It could be take away our loved ones. It could take away our job. It could be adverse circumstances that bring us to our senses. I hope we don't have to go through that. But Israel is going to have to go through it in the tribulation. And there God is going to break away that blindness so they will see the Savior when he comes. So it's a time of sifting, a softening up, a purging of Israel, preparing them for the return of the Messiah. How long will it be before these things are fulfilled? The answer.
The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and a half time.
So, these things will begin in full force at the last half of the tribulation. That's what he's referring to here. That will be the most final and severe punishments and discipline that actually come from heaven, not only by Satan himself as well. And this period will last for, if you put it in today's 360 prophetic years, 1,260 days. And all the godly saved Jews will refuse to follow the Antichrist as he puts his image in the temple, and they will flee, and God will protect them in the desert. Now, those who don't flee, whether they're saved or not, they're going to be martyred unless they worship the image. So many Jews will be martyred who are faithful to the Lord. Now, the second part of 12 is this, 7 is this. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. So during this 3.5 year period, God, through his pressure of discipline, will break those Jews in their stubbornness to believe that Jesus Christ was and is their Messiah. So Abraham's children must suffer, and a remnant will remain alive until they come to repentance. You know, Paul gave us a glimpse of this. This is amazing. In the book of Acts, we went through this. And he also speaks of it in 1 Corinthians. When we go through 1 Corinthians, we're going to get into detail on this. But 1 Corinthians 15:8, Paul said that his salvation experience was out of time. What did he mean, out of time? He was saying, I was saved as the Jewish nation will be saved. I looked up, and there before me on the Damascus Road was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he fell to the ground and said, Lord, Lord, and confessed his sin. He saw the Savior and knew immediately who it was. The same will happen for the Jews at the end of the tribulation. They will see him coming in glory. They will know who he is and what they had rejected. And they will fall on their knees and they see the one whom they pierced. And they will receive Christ as their Savior. Zechariah talks about that in chapter 12, verse 10. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and a spirit of supplication. And they will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. How they will grieve and cry out in pain is beyond even our comprehension when they realize what their fathers and forefathers and what they have done, and yet God in his grace saves them still. What joy and beauty it is. Now, verse 11, I'm going to jump ahead. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Now remember before, the time, times, and a half time come to 1,260 days. So what's this extra 30 days that are here? I'll tell you. Are you ready for it? The answer is nobody knows. We don't know. And God isn't telling us. But the Jews of that day will somehow know exactly what it is. But we can do something. We can speculate. Isn't it fun to speculate? But don't you make it dogmatic and say, this is what it means and everyone has to believe this. No, we speculate. It can only be this. When the Lord returns in glory with all the angels of heaven and with us in the resurrected form and puts his feet on the mount there, there's going to be a 30-day period before he does something. And I'll tell you what. The next thing tells us of more days, more confusion. Verse 12, blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. Remember, the counting time is from when the desolation in the temple is put in there, and the days start counting from there. Now, he says here, at the end of the tribulation, before the start of the millennial period, we'll put the days together, and it's 75 days. What's going to happen in 75 days once Jesus lies on the earth and the battle of Armageddon is completely destroyed and God is going to send all the unrighteous who are alive into Hades itself? Just completely put them away. Well, there's going to be a number of things occur. Number one, there's going to be the judgment of the sheep and the goats. This is a reference to the Gentiles. The Gentiles who in the tribulation period believed in Jesus. And the ones that believed in Jesus will be called Jesus' sheep and put on the right hand. The Gentiles who didn't believe, even the phony professors and no professors, all of them will be put on the right. This is in the Valley of Megiddo. And there, the ones on the right will be cast into hell. They will immediately be sent to hell. And the sheep, the Gentiles who believed, will go on into the millennial age with the Jews who believe. So keep that in mind. So these 75 days interview are probably for this period of time. It's going to take some time. But also it's probably going to take a little time. Nothing takes time with the Lord. Remember, he's going to remove the curse from the earth. So maybe this is the period when the curse will be removed, when the millennial age will begin, and the millennial temple will begin construction. It's something we just don't know, but it is very important for the Jews of that particular time there. So it'll obviously, as I said, take some time between the 30 and the 75 days. What does Daniel say about this? Notice in the second part, Revelation on schedule, a predetermined timetable. He goes on to say that I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? Daniel was confused, and I'm sure many people were who read this from the Old Testament Jews. And it's understandable that they couldn't understand it because it didn't pertain to them, pertain to those people in the future here. But the angel is going to say to him, Daniel, you have a place in all this. You will not be forgotten. Now we go back to verse 9 and 10. He replied, Daniel, go your way, because the words are rolled up and sealed unto the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, refined. That's the salvation. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. During this period, the 144,000 out there, and they're witnessing to all the Jews, Gentiles too. And many people will be saved in the tribulation period. Isn't that the grace of God? Even once the church is gone, God is going to save many. Now I want to say this. I think before the tribulation begins, and I can't be dogmatic, but the scripture seems to point this way here, that those people who hear the gospel while the church is here and the church is taken away, you will not be saved in the tribulation period. God is going to harden your heart and you will go through and perish in hell. Your only time of salvation, if you're listening to this message right now, is now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, because the rapture can occur at any moment and it's too late for you. But others who have not heard, not understood, they will be given an opportunity in the tribulation period to be saved. Now, it's important here. The first events described, of course, lay far in the future. They're far from Daniel, but maybe they're far from us too. We don't know. But maybe not so far. Daniel was given a partial answer to the outcome of the events of the tribulation. The Lord explained the intense sufferings of Israel was for the purpose of saving them from their sins. And the Lord gave further chronology that would happen in the future time at the end of the tribulation before the millennial age would begin. However, the point here is Daniel's questioning, like us, would not be fully answered, and also what we've learned in verses 11 to 12. The 75-day interval will be there. Now that brings us to the last verse of Scripture, verse 13. Daniel, the angel says, as for you, go your way to the end. This is an interesting phrase in the Hebrew, go your way. It says, Daniel, keep on keeping on. Keep doing what you're doing, that God is blessed by it. And just wait for your time. You will die, but in that day, far in the future, you will be raised from the dead. Meanwhile, you will enter your rest. In death, he would at that time eventually be resurrected to life. Now, the second part, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. You see, Daniel was going to get his inheritance. He was going to probably be a ruler in the millennial age in his glorified body, his resurrected body, like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Daniel's writings, which you and I are reading and studying, they're still with us, aren't they? Because God has not brought this time. Well, the promise is there, and this is what the book is all about. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God shall stand forever. All, think of it, all the hammers of unbelief, all the wicked satanic blows that come against the Bible to say it's not true and we can't believe this book and it's full of errors and all the nonsense that's there, it will do nothing. Just like taking a hammer on a big anvil. You can beat it all you want, and the only thing that will go bad is your hammer in the process. So God's word will stand. But in closing, let's do a little catalog. That sometimes helps, okay? What God biblically predicts is still ahead from the book of Daniel and other sources, because we're in the New Testament and you and I don't exist in the Old Testament. We were a mystery, a hidden secret that God was going to bring out. So let's take a look. This is the next thing on the prophetic scene. Nothing else is going to happen before this. The rapture of the church in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. God is going to rapture every believer off the face of the earth. And then the tribulation period will come. And this will be for that 7-year period for God to deal with his saints and with his nation of Israel. Third, at the end we discuss the resurrection of the Old Testament believers, and the tribulation saints who were martyred and died during this period will be restored to life with resurrection bodies. And during that 75-day period, the judgment of the Gentiles, the sheep and the goat. God is also going to judge Israel at this particular time, Matthew 25:1-30. And then when all that's done and all the lost in the world and Satan and his angels are going to be chained in the abyss, so no more threats, or shall we say, temptations from the devil will be there. The world will be made fresh and new, and the curse will be removed. All the perfect things for you and I, or if we were still in our human bodies, would be able to say is the most beautiful thing, and the establishment of the millennial age will begin. But now, the apportionment of the land for Israel. God is going to give Israel great portions of the millennial land, and they will indeed experience the beauty of farming it and doing the things that all of them did before, but there'll be no weeds and there'll be no failed crops. How many would like something like that? Never have a failed crop. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Bumper crop every time, you know? And indeed, there'll be food for all the world. All right, let's close the book with some considerations. This application, number one, these intricate and exact prophecies were given to encourage who? The Jewish remnant who would suffer at the hands of Satan and his earthly rulers under the control of the evil princes of darkness. That God was going was in control and had not forgotten them. And one day he would save them and give them the Messiah and an everlasting kingdom. Number two, here's an application. These prophecies were given to show those who read and study the Bible. That's the term, the wise. When we saw that word, the wise, it refers to those who believe God's word and act upon it. In any age, there is a God who is sovereign and eternal and dwells not in time nor space. He's in control of history and he's the King of Kings. And as such, all who live in his eternal domain, that's where we are right now, must surrender to his will to live and prosper. And of course, in eternity. And number three, these prophecies show the book is supernatural and a book of truth that can be depended upon. Not only to prophesy history exactly as it unfolds, and the majority of Daniel's prophecy we saw unfolded exactly, literally, as it was predicted. And the rest that isn't will unfold exactly and literally as predicted here. And it's to show us that is the only way to heaven and eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And lastly, since we know the end from the beginning, you and I in the church, of the way of man without God, those who discover this, there's no reason in the world why they shouldn't repent and believe God's word on the matter of death and separation from God for sinners and the promise of eternal life found only in Jesus Christ. So I ask anyone listening today, have you found Jesus Christ? You who are sitting here, you know what I'm talking about. You have found Jesus Christ. But there might be someone who listens from a tape that you share with them, or tapes, we don't use tapes anymore, from a CD, or maybe even an MPEG file on an iPad. You know we can do that. You can go to the internet right now if you have an iPad, and you can just click on listen. And as you listen to it, you can put save, And the whole thing will be saved on your iPad to listen as many times as you want. But that's the point. Have you believed in Him as your sovereign Creator and Messiah? If not, there's only one thing to do, and the Bible speaks of it, repent. Repent means turn around, change your mind, and about face of what you've been doing, where you've been going, and look to the Savior and follow Him. And believe that He died for your sins. The moment you do that, God will save your soul. He will give you a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, who will come to reside and tabernacle inside of you. And He will go with you for all eternity and guide you and keep you and instruct you and bless you in your Christian life. And God's people say what?
Amen.
Amen. We've experienced that, and we want others to do that too. So that's our prayer, and that's our request as we close this marvelous book of Daniel. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the wonders of this book, the resurrection of the righteous that was shown, and that your revelation is on schedule, whatever is going to happen, and also how you will keep Israel through the great suffering and bring them to a salvation experience. Even the Gentiles of that time, many will be saved as well. We thank you for saving us into the church family. And we pray that we indeed will be faithful so that we will be the wise ones too, who will shine one day like the stars forever and ever. I pray your blessing on all who hear. In Jesus' name, amen.